The Hebrew Order of David is one of our community's oldest and most established global outreach organizations. Join Stan Clare for the next hour as he explores the issues facing the men in the community. The HOD Hour is a fundraising initiative for the HOD. Welcome to the HOD Hour with Stan Clare. This is the HOD Hour with Stan Clare.
And I'm Stan Clare, and we're going to talk tonight about the Hebrew Order of David, the past, the present, and the future. And this week, unfortunately, on Saturday, just before Sukkot, one of our leading brethren passed away. That's Joe Cronson. He was a pillar of strength, a leader of the Lodge Jerusalem, as well as a worthy brother whose main aim in the Hebrew Order of David and his main focus has always been to teach those who joined the order and also those who were members for many years the workings within the Hebrew Order of David. And that's not to say that it's big secret stuff. It's very simple stuff designed to keep decorum and designed to make sure that you respect the other people in the lodge or the other members of the lodge and to allow the president to maintain dignity and decorum throughout the meetings. So Joe Cronson passed away. He was buried in the Section I at West Park, which is the section which is reserved for leaders of the community. And it is deserved that he should be there because of the work that he has done for many years. He was buried next to or adjacent to his late wife and wished the family long life and really a man who served the Hebrew Order of David over many, many, many years. He served us well. He was a friend to everyone and well-liked, well-respected, and in fact assisted greatly in some of the workings of lodges, of the new lodges which we managed to open overseas. So having said that, we're going to move on to really to look at the Hebrew Order of David in its entirety, going back to the early days. So the Hebrew Order of David started back in 1904. Officially, it was started by two members of another order called the Hebrew Order of Druids in England who came to South Africa just at the end of the Boer War to find that many men had come from overseas from different parts of the world, I suppose mainly Lithuania and Europe, where they were looking for a new home and a new place to be and found here that they needed assistance. And they needed assistance in many ways, one of which was to, of course, to provide them with a hot meal. They were looking for employment, so the Hebrew Order of David stepped in and helped them to find work where they could. If there was medical needs, there was a panel of doctors to whom they could turn. There was also a panel of lawyers if they needed any legal assistance at that time or to do documents or contracts of employment. And really, generally, to be able to get together and, I suppose, in some ways commiserate with each other, but also to, as a form of union, to be able to get a step up in a society, which, of course, was in Johannesburg particularly, was very new and very rough at the end of the war, and times must have been pretty tough. Their families were left overseas, and they now came to South Africa to begin a new life. The first lodge of the Hebrew Order of David at that time was the Hebrew Order of Druids, and the first lodge was the Dr. Herzl Lodge, which was opened in honor or named after Theodore Herzl, and that lodge was the first lodge to be opened, and it was opened by two men who were Louis Fager and Mr. Distiller. And these two men, in the formative years of those early lodges, had a group of other members around them who were like-minded and who were able to assist in the growth of the order, which then began to grow widely. So starting with Germiston and then going right throughout South Africa for a period. We've been going now for 115 years, during which up until the 90s in South Africa, there were over 60 lodges operating successfully in almost every town in the country. Wherever, I always joked that wherever there was a Falls Crest Bank, there was a lodge. And the members of the Hebrew Order of David managed to form themselves or to help themselves by going into these communities and assisting those communities and helping them with the shuls, with everything that had to do with being Jewish in these small country towns. And some of the best members of the Hebrew Order of David today are the offspring of those early pioneers who formed those early lodges, lived in those country communities, understood the meaning of Chavashaft, and moved into eventually coming into the big cities, and then eventually a lot of them emigrated, and that's when we started to form lodges overseas. But over the first 80 or 90 years, the concentration of the Hebrew Order of David was South African. It's a purely South African organization at that stage. And the organization operated assisting the members, the brethren, as we call them, for quite a number of years until the 1950s. And in the 1950s, the Medical Schemes Act changed everything for the Hebrew Order of David. That was a seminal moment in which we weren't able as an organization to fulfill the same role that we had understood and what we knew as an organization, helping our own and providing all of the assistance, medical, dental, legal, etc. And we had to move away from that. We still maintained a certain amount of assistance, which we still maintain today for assisting those brethren and their families in need. But the focus went away from that, and most of the activities from that time on, although there had been activities in the Chavashaft area and in assistance from the point of view of Chesed, the focus of the Hebrew Order of David moved more to philanthropic causes. And that's when the organization changed its intent. And its intent has been since then to assist those in need in all communities, and as an organization to be at the forefront of wherever we can to assist those in the communities, not only Jewish, but in the communities where we live and where we are, and surrounding the lodges, where the lodges were in all little towns. I mean, there's a list of 60 something lodges. And if you had to put the names of every family in South Africa who ever was a member of the order, separated by, as they do by inverted commas or by semicolons, you would probably fill a page of a newspaper and still have an overflow. That's how many families in South Africa have been involved in the Hebrew Order of David. I'm sure that every single Jew in South Africa who came out of South Africa had some connection to somebody within the Hebrew Order of David. So the Hebrew Order of David was strong. We numbered in the thousands as members. Every family was connected in some way. The men in the family, because this is a fraternity, the men in the family, the husbands, the uncles, the brothers, the sons, all got involved in some activity of the Hebrew Order of David. From a personal point of view, I joined the Hebrew Order of David in 1975, to a new lodge, which was then Lodge Negev. It was the first lodge to be opened in Sandton, which is a new area where Jews were. And that has really reflected what the Hebrew Order of David's growth has been about, is that we went where there were Jews. So obviously, in little places where one wouldn't expect to have even had a Jewish history, like Heilbronn, like Potchefstroom, and some of these areas where there were numbers of Jews enough to have a very successful lodge, the movement of Jews in South Africa was more towards the cities. And so by the time I came along, some nearly 40-something years, nearly 70 years after the start of the Hebrew Order of David, I came along and joined the Hebrew Order of David to a new lodge in the Sandton area with young men who wanted to do good as Jewish men would like to do, and to be involved in charity work wherever possible. And so the past of these lodges really has been to assist. And we did big work. We did work such as we built homes for the guide dogs. We were involved in the Laingsburg disaster. We assisted, there's a list of something like 140 charity organizations and something, you know, a lot of them Jewish, but a lot of them non-Jewish, which have benefited from the work of the Hebrew Order of David throughout our years, and particularly when we were in the country towns, the Jews were supported, the shul was assisted, there was always a minyan provided by members of the order, and those little country towns and their country communities survived and thrived with assistance from the Hebrew Order of David. So after all those years, and the years passed and lodges opened and then small towns, so the members of the community started moving towards the bigger towns. So of course, Johannesburg then was the main center, but there's also Cape Town down to the Eastern Cape, Port Elizabeth and East London, and Durban, of course. And those are the areas where the lodge found other homes. Of course, we were in right throughout the Free State, from Bloemfontein, Heilbron, all of those areas, Parys, through the Natal, KwaZulu-Natal today, but through Natal, Durban, Pietermaritzburg, Frederfort, all of those areas where there were Jews, there were lodges, and they thrived in those areas and did great work. And they, if you go through the, we have a 100-year book which is available, and towards the end of the month, hopefully, we're going to launch our website, and you'll be able to see what the Hebrew Order of David has done, and the members of, and who has been members of the Hebrew Order of David. And that's an essential part, because rabbis will tell you that the Torah is the glue that holds the Jews together over all the years. But from the Hebrew Order of David, it's the men and the members of the organization who have done such yeoman work. And we've been behind the scenes. We've always been an organization which has been quiet about our existence, but also we try to work within the communities as much as possible. We haven't broadcast what we've done, but we have raised in the communities millions of rands to assist. And now the Hebrew Order of David in South Africa is about to launch a new lodge based on historical ways of doing things, and also the traditions and the rituals of the Hebrew Order of David. But we want to open a new lodge, and we want to open it with young men who would see themselves able to do work in the community. I have to say that the Hebrew Order of David isn't for everyone. We've had a number of members who've joined, a number of men who've joined and have drifted away because of one reason or another. But at the same time, those who have remained have found it within their DNA to be able to do as an organization what each individual member couldn't do. So we now today support certain charities. For example, we support Kasher Mobile Meals. We support Hospice. We support Selwyn Siegel. We support a lot of these organizations. But we want to spread our wings a little bit. We want to flex our muscles, because over the years we built an organization. We built a center, which we, in the 1970s, we built, which we occupied completely, and as we lost numbers in the community, so we didn't have need for all of those other facilities. And today, the HOD Center, the Hebrew Order of David Center in Oaklands, in Orchards, in Oaklands Road Orchards, is occupied by the Union of Orthodox Synagogues, the Chief Rabbi, Gary Friedman Caterers, and the Sephardi Shul. It's a thriving center. You can come there any day of the week. You'll find there's activities going on. And so the Hebrew Order of David has the facility. We have an office there. We have a meeting rooms for the organization and for what we do. We have the ability to be able to assist any of our lodges in doing projects both financially and physically. And of course, having those facilities makes it much easier for anybody to come along. So what's involved with joining the Hebrew Order of David? So firstly, we're a completely male organization. We're a fraternity, a brotherhood. I'm going to talk a little bit about how we've expanded overseas. But right now in South Africa, we want to open a new lodge. And so the involvement of anyone joining is really relatively simple. You attend meetings, you will be somehow able to find your own way within the Hebrew Order of David, because it's an organization that allows you to grow. We don't have limitations on the kind of projects that we do. We don't have limitations on ideas. Provided you can have the support, you can do almost any project that you would like, within bounds, of course, and within adhering to Jewish values and to be able to make sure that we are always doing something Jewish and by showing the community what we can do. So first and foremost, you need to be Jewish. If you are married, you need to be married to a Jewess. If you are not married and you do marry, you should marry a Jewish woman. And if you do marry if you don't marry a Jewish woman, then unfortunately can't be a member of the Hebrew Order of David. Those are the basic ground rules of belonging to the order. We have had young men join the Hebrew Order of David, unable to speak publicly, unable to do projects or project manage, and they've grown in stature, and they've grown in their presence, and they've grown in their ability to articulate what they do, because if you're in a community and you organization and you want to do something, you need to be able to say, this is what I want to do, this is how I want to do it, and let the committee decide. And of course, the more eloquent you are and the more you have a sales ability to be able to sell the project within the organization, so you get the support of the organization to move into whichever project you want to do. Anyone knows that in South Africa today, there is so much to be done on all sides, both within the Jewish community, which of course is our first port of call and our first love, but we cannot ignore the fact that we live here. We cannot ignore the fact that we want to work within the community. And that means we need to stretch our resources a little bit further. We need to apply our minds to the organization as part of the culture of South Africa, part of the fabric of the South African society, to be able to be involved in projects that are of a community nature. And some examples, of course, are examples like hospice. We like to support them. We don't support organizations with cash. We'll do joint projects. We'll raise money and we'll give them what monies are needed to buy certain things, or we'll buy those items to be able to assist them, but we don't hand out cash liberally. We rather would assist these organizations in getting what they need. That's very important, because we are not an organization that rakes off huge amounts of money in administration. We're all volunteers. We run a mean and lean organization. We don't have umpteen employees drawing huge salaries. Each lodge is basically run with assistance, small assistance from the office, but essentially by volunteers. And there's a structure within those lodges based on the president, the vice president, and a committee. And that committee will then drive the project together with the person who's running it. And if you do put forward a project, it doesn't mean you necessarily have to run it. You put the idea forward, and if it's acceptable, you can be part of that, or somebody will be appointed to assist with those projects. And there's no limit to the amount of work that can be done in the community. So as I say, the need is there. The opportunity is there for young people to join an organization like ours, if you're a male. And this is not an anti-feminist situation. This is giving men an opportunity to be in an organization which is run by men, for men, and in that way, in order to assist in the community. many people don't have a lot of time on their hands. So it's possible that you could do much more the limited time that you have rather than spend your time, because we're not going to take you away from your family. We're not going to take you away from your work, but we want you to be involved. And I think deep down, most men and most people actually would like to do some sort of charity work or do a little bit more with what they have. You don't have to pay out large sums of money. Our fees are very limited and very reasonable. We don't charge an untold amount of money. Our meetings are held and with a certain amount of ritual behind closed doors. As I said at the beginning, because we want to have decorum, we want some sort of dignity, but they are held in such a way that there's no Harry Potter stuff and that type of thing, but we want to be able to maintain the dignity of an organization like ours, which has been going for so long, and to be able to make the most of what we can do with the resources that we have. And that's why we're looking now to open a new lodge. We're going to take a small break to pay the rent, and then we'll come back and have a further discussion about what that lodge means. And then I'll talk to you about where we are in the rest of the world and the future.
This is the HOD Hour with Stan Claff.
And this is Stan Claff. And if you would like to participate in some way in the show, you can send us a telegram. We don't do WhatsApp anymore. Or send us a telegram on 061-895-1019 or SMS us on 34519. If you want to participate, ask any questions. We're talking about the Hebrew order of David, the past, the present, and the future. So the present is looking towards opening new lodges, and we've been opening new lodges successfully in the United States and in the United Kingdom, and we did open in Israel. We are doing very well in Israel. We'd like to move further afield to Australia and New Zealand, which will come in due course. We also have a lodge in Canada. And we're talking about what it means to join the Hebrew Order of David. So once you join the Hebrew Order of David and you join a lodge, you would work within that community. You can rise to where you want to be. I started off as a simple member. I rose to become president of my lodge. I then served on the Grand Executive, which is the overarching body of the order, for several years before becoming Grand President. And during my term, I changed some of the way of the workings of the Hebrew Order of David from a purely South African-run organization to an international organization by a new vision project, which was to open governing lodges in the United Kingdom, in the United States, and, of course, to work with Israel on managing the Hebrew Order of David in Israel. The governing lodge, therefore, in South Africa is the overarching body, as I've used that word before, but the body that controls the lodges, and all the lodges report to the governing body, the governing lodge of that country. In America, over the last, since 1999, there are now 9 lodges operating, and they operate in Boca Raton, they operate in San Diego, they operate in Houston and Dallas, they operate in, 4 lodges operate out of Atlanta, and also we have a lodge in Canada. A new lodge is on the cards to be opened in Houston, and we're looking further afield to open lodges in other areas of America. And if anyone is interested, we are happy to chat to them. 70 to 75% of the membership in the Hebrew Order of David in America are Americans, as opposed to those South Africans who left here and have joined and helped us to start the organization in the United Kingdom, and also in the United States and in Canada. Israel is Anglo-Saxon. We speak English. We would like to open a Hebrew-speaking lodge. And in fact, the rituals of the order have been translated into Hebrew, but so far we haven't been successful in that regard. But anybody coming forward would like to do it, we'd really like to talk to you. So the new lodge that's going to be opened is going to be a young man's lodge, given the opportunity to do their own thing, to really be able to start with a new committee. We will give guidance. and new committee members who, young men, we're not particular about the age group, but I would say that that lodge is probably going to look like those under 45 and, with or without families. It's an opportunity not to be missed, because if you feel community spirited and you feel that you can do something within the community, this is really an opportunity. You can contact us if you would like to talk to us about this, and we'll be contacting those members of the community one by one to be able to see how we can get this lodge going. We do already have a small number of members who are interested in, of men who are, or members of the community who would like to join. Our number at the office is 011-640-3017, and also you can email admin@hodavid.org. So, as I said, joining the Hebrew Order of David, you need to be Jewish, you need to be married in the Jewish faith, or you can be unmarried, or we have no stipulation that you have to be married to join. You can participate in the Hebrew Order of David activities at all levels, and we have, besides the fact that we do work and we do work in the community, and there's a, and we're charity-based, we're there for a lot of fun. We have Chavashaft events, we family get-togethers, we've had anything from picnics to braais to evenings out at theaters and group activities, and get to know, if you're somebody who is looking for friendship, and I've made tremendous amount of friends around the world by being a member of this Hebrew Order of David. I know it's coming from me, it's probably sounds like that's the only way, but it's not the only way. You don't have to participate in everything. You can just be a member of the lodge. Come to our monthly meeting. You have a nice meal. You enjoy the meeting. Listen to what's going on. And if you, there's no pressure to have to participate. We like you to participate. And of course, I think if one joins an organization, the intent is to participate. I want to give you an idea of what the Hebrew Order of David is doing at the moment. And just a sample of the type of projects we're doing here in Johannesburg over the next month. So on Wednesday, the 6th of November, we have a bingo evening, which is our annual big bingo bash. It's 200 rand per person. You get 5 games, and you can participate in the big games if you want to add a little bit of money into the pot. It's not excessively expensive. You get a light supper and cold drinks, etc., etc., are all included in the price. The beneficiary of this event is the Kosher Mobile Meals. We've just completed a project called Bringing Onto Joy, which we worked with the community to collect money in, and we were very generously supported by the Jewish community in South Africa and around the world, I have to add, and very, very, very generously supported. We didn't quite reach our target, but we are hopeful that the bingo evening will bring in additional revenue. And of course, Kosher Mobile Meals doing tremendous work in the community. What we deliver is over and above what you would normally get from organizations that are already delivering food to the community on a regular basis. And we stand by and we support those organizations, and we think those organizations are definitely in need of support by the community. But we feel that at Yontov, we sit at tables having all the delicacies in the world, and yet those people out there in the community are not getting quite that. So we like to add a little bit into the pot, and our parcels are kindly delivered by Kosher Mobile Meals. On the 30th of October, we've started a program back at the beginning of this year, in which we've had some guest speakers, famous people in the community, starting with Ruth Meyer, and then also going on to Joel Stransky. He came to talk to us. He was asked, actually, funny enough, at the thing with can the Bucks win the World Cup? He said they can. Will they? I don't know. So Joel Stransky was the next speaker. Now we are privileged to have Professor Nick Binnedell. For those of you who don't know him, he's the founding dean of the Gibbs. That's the Gordon Institute of Business Science in South Africa. It's part of the University of Pretoria. Professor Nick Benedel is also part of the group that has been advising Cyril Ramaphosa, the President of South Africa, on the financial activities that need to be done in order to bring South Africa around into the around, because we need this. Of course, this country needs to be turned around. I don't want to get into politics, but he's going to talk about South Africa, the future, and that's on the 30th of October. The price of a ticket is 90 Rand, plus it's 150 Rand if per couple. We're not saying what the couple can be. Just come along and enjoy the evening. There'll be some tea and coffee and snacks afterwards. And it's going to be held at the HRD Center. Again, if you want to contact the Hebrew Order of David to discuss, to buy tickets, you can look on, you can call us on 011-640-3017, or you can email us at admin@hrdavid.org. We'll reserve you a seat, and come along and to that evening and help us raise money. All our events are money raising, fundraising. We raise that money to help, in this particular case, the beneficiary is going to be Hospice, an amazing organization which we have supported throughout the years. We want to buy them certain equipment which they need, and we are looking for you to attend and assist us, and also to hear something about South Africa, which is an opportunity from somebody of the caliber of Professor Nick Benedel. For those of us in the community who are older and elderly, it's an opportunity on the Thursday, the 14th of November, 2019. We have a morning of song, and we have a couple of, it's going to be Yiddish songs. It's the Royals, what we call the Royals. And it's a morning, starts on the 14th at 9:30 for 10. It's at the HRD Center, which is in 58 Oaklands Road, Orchards. You're welcome to come along and to enjoy a morning of outstanding singing and Yiddish for the community. The Hebrew Order of David is launching from the end of the month another project which we've been talking about from time to time, and it's a day in the life of a Jew in South Africa. It's a project which we hope to, at the end of the day, put together a nice book, sort of a coffee table book, if it all goes well. All you have to do, and it's a very simple, there's no charge to enter. All you have to do is take a photograph of something Jewish, send it in to our address at admin@hrdavid.org, or you can send to photos@hrdavid.org. It's hrdavid.org. And there's prizes up to about 25,000, and we're going to publish it on our website, which will be launched, and we'll also, your name will be in the booklet if it comes out, in the book, I should say, which we want to produce. And any monies that we raise from sponsorship will also be put towards projects which we are to raise money for the various charities that we're involved in. So the Hebrew Order of David's past has got an amazing amount of memorabilia, and it's all over the country. And I'm sure that in your attics, or in your, I don't have too many attics, but in your basements or in your garages, in boxes and somewhere, you'll find something that belongs to the Hebrew Order of David, that belonged to one of your family members. You don't have a home for it. Don't chuck it out. Send it or call the office on 640-3017, 011-640-3017, and we'll gladly bring you stuff that we can, you could bring us that stuff too, and we'll put it in museum. We'll give you credit for the item that you've given, and we are getting almost on a daily basis stuff that we would like to display. It ranges from anything from Kiddush cups to pictures to certificates, anything that you may have that pertains to the Hebrew Order of David as an international organization. But going back, because we have missing information from various lodges, and some lodges do have well-kept information, but of course, over the years, over 100 years, 115 years, some of the information has been lost. If you have any information you'd like to share with us, or any stories or anything you'd like to do, please contact us or send us the information. We have an extensive database of names of people who have been members of the Hebrew Order of David, as I said before. Almost on a weekly basis, I get calls from overseas, from people who are looking for members of their family. Did this person belong to the organization? Can we tell them something about it? And as I said, we've got nearly 20,000 names of information about members of the Hebrew Order of David going back. And you may be surprised to find that members of your family were in fact members of the Hebrew Order of David. So we've talked about the past, the Hebrew Order of David, our work throughout South Africa, and I'm sure in most homes you would find something. People are often telling me they found something like a Kiddush cup, or they found something like a certificate. And in fact, there was an illuminated certificate which was found in the new lodge in Houston. And they're using that lodge to, in Dallas, and they're using that particular certificate, which is is highly colored, a beautiful certificate, and they're using it as part of their lodge and part of their publications. They've scanned it in and they've had it made to look fantastic, and they send it out as part of their newsletters. So, There's stuff out there that we would really like to have, the archives of the order. If you have something, please let us know. So we talked about the past. We talked about the present, which we're trying to put together our archives. We talked about the fact that we're going to open a new lodge. So where's the Hebrew Order of David going? The strength of the Hebrew Order of today, has moved overseas, because obviously, with immigration, we've lost numbers of our members, and of course the community. But it has been a window of opportunity to open up in places like the United States, Canada, in the United Kingdom, and of course Israel. And we'd like to go back where we did have lodges in Australia. The opportunity exists to open more lodges. The capacity exists because we have a very strong organization in the United Kingdom and the United States, where the leadership of those, of the governing lodges of those countries, has been unbelievably exciting and strong. And have had, and 10 years ago, we had, just an example, we had only two lodges in United States, and today we have 9. We're going on for 10 and 11, and I see that we'll be opening within the next number of years at least one every second year. So we'd like to open one in South Africa. The future lies with the youth, as in all organizations, and we would like to attract people who would like to become involved. As I said before, it's not everybody's cup of tea, but if you have a community spirit, if you belonged to organizations like all of the youth organizations in South Africa, I'm sure you have an understanding of what it is to belong to these organizations. This could be a home for you. You can rise within an organization which of like-minded people, and we have doctors, professors, motor mechanics, plumbers, electricians, marketing people, accountants, all types of people who are really involved in the Hebrew Order of David. And everybody plays a role, and everybody works together, and you can rub shoulders with everyone, and you can work together with people on projects that you haven't even dreamed of possible. Because when I joined, I didn't know it was possible to do anything. I kind of pitched up there and was initiated into the order, and then became part of it. And as I grew, I became more involved, and that's an opportunity for you to become involved. It doesn't necessarily have to interfere with your work. And in fact, it's going to enhance your ability to speak in public. It's going to enhance your ability to be a type of project manager, because our projects are need management. There's financial management. There's project management. There's just an ability to meet people and to rub shoulders, as I said, with other people, to have Chavashaft events. And as an example of what's going on in America, we have a kosher braai every year in Atlanta, where there are now 5,000 to 6,000 people attending this event. It's a kosher braai, community braai competition, which even the police and the fire service are fielding teams. It's all the food there is kosher. We have supported organizations like the Jewish Community Services with buying vehicles to assist with moving people around in the communities where there's much need. Of course, America has more population and is more in need of assistance than anywhere else in the world. But that's not to say that it can't happen anywhere from America, from England, from South Africa, and certainly in Israel. South Africa, we have strong presence in Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, East London, and Durban, where the lodges work within their communities. They hold bingo evenings, they hold music evenings, they attend places like old age homes or senior citizens' homes, where they entertain them for the evening. They spend time with the community, but they also spend time together. And when you're working with people and you're doing projects, you make friends. And I've seen two complete opposite type of people become friends in this organization and have worked together on projects, and the camaraderie and the enthusiasm that stems from this type of operation is really heartwarming. So you don't have to just write out a check to do charity. You can come and spend your time. We don't look at your bank balance to join the organization, so we're not asking you for money. We're just asking you to pay your subs, to participate in the organization, to play a role in assisting wherever possible. And we all know that there's a need for that assistance throughout the communities. And so we work within the ambit of our lodge, wherever our lodge is. So, for example, lodge might be in Sandton. We would assist organizations and other people in need, etc., in the community, from areas like Alexandra, or that we've done the guide dogs. We've helped the guide dogs. We've done all sorts of projects which are assisting the community in one form or another. This doesn't interfere with your religious background. It doesn't interfere with anything. We don't cast any We don't look down on or up to anyone at any level. If you're Orthodox or you're Reform or you're in the middle of the road, or as they say in America, whatever type of Jew you are, you're welcome as long as you're Jewish, as long as you, as I say, adhere to the rules of marriage. You're welcome in the Hebrew Order of David as an organization. We'll make you feel at home. You have the opportunity to interact. If you leave South Africa and you go to another country, there's bound to be people from lodges in those, from the order within those lodges, within those areas. If you just on a visit, you might be going to, or have family in Dallas, you might have family in Atlanta, you might have family in London. You may go there and want to be able to go and be part of a meeting. Just pop in. It's the same here as in South Africa. Every meeting runs along the same lines with the same structure and the same ritual. You'll join the meeting. You'll feel at home. They'll make you feel welcome. And if you're immigrating and you want to talk to people in, and you're not a member of the order and you want to talk to people in Israel, England, or the United, or America, you're welcome to call the office on 640-3017. We'll introduce you to wherever you're going, and I'm sure you'll make friends and as part of this organization, which has been part of the South African fabric for 115 years. For the last 25 years, we've been expanding in the seminal moment that people started to leave South Africa in droves. It opened up that window of opportunity for us to be in areas where we never dreamed we would be. But today, that dream has come true, and the strength of the order, as I say, is moving along international lines. We're truly an organization which is international. We are run by an international body. The Grand President, the first Grand President out of South Africa was in England, was Michael Margolis, following a string of 40-something Grand Presidents who were only South Africans. And then when we started growing and moving into the new way of doing things, we formed these governing lodges. And as a result of that, the first Grand President out of South Africa was Michael Margolis, followed by Alan Rubinstein in the United States, and unfortunately he just passed away, sadly, and didn't complete his term. Next year it's going to be a South African, Avron Kresner, well known in the community, who's going to be taking over the reins, and he'll be running the Hebrew Order of David International. My role is as Grand Secretary, which I suppose is an executive position within the organization, responsible for the administration of the order internationally. And I perform the role of keeping the organization together. I guess I'm the glue that holds everything together, and so I'm happy to talk to you if you want to become a member of this order and if you want to join. And really, we are recruiting. We would like to have people, and we would like to have like-minded men who want to do something of value in the community. I think what you leave behind in an organ, when of the work that you've done, I think that part of community work is something which you can say that you did form part of the of a community and that you did help the community. And testimony to that was one of our members was buried over the weekend in the leaders of the community section at West Park Cemetery. And due to the fact that he was a member of the Hebrew Order of David and a leader in the community. So the opportunities really, really something which is available to every Jewish male. If you're older and you feel you want to join, you would like to join an organization, you have some spare time, or you'd like to be involved in some community work, you're welcome. We'll fit you into one of the other lodges that exists within your age group, and there's plenty of scope for that. The Hebrew of David is always looking out for capable people and members who will make you feel at home, as I said. Just to finish off on a note, it's now coming to the end of Sukkot, and I heard the other day that Elvis Presley was invited to a shul service for Sukkot, and at the shul service he saw the Lulav and Etrog, and that's where he got the idea to write the song "I'm All Shook Up." On that note, I'm going to close. I'm going to wish you the rest of the Chagim, Chag Sameach, Good Shabbos coming up on Friday night. And thank you from the Hebrew of David. Don't let the grass grow under your feet. Come and join us. Let's make this organization a worldwide international organization of note, with its roots from South Africa. Thank you.